Now, we want to briefly talk about a really fascinating report that just occurred in San Antonio in December, the first time looking at oncotype and node-positive tumors. Just real briefly, maybe Peter, you can start out kind of going through this. This was going back looking at a study that had been done in patients with node-positive disease, ER-positive, postmenopausal. Can you talk about the study and sort of the bottom line of what was presented in terms of the data?
Okay. This study actually followed an NSABP study. The NSABP study was NSABP B20, and in B20, patients basically were randomized between getting tamoxifen alone or tamoxifen and CMF. What that study showed was that if you had a low recurrence score, the Kaplan-Meier curve distinguished by whether or not you got chemotherapy overlay each other, and that the benefit was in the intermediate and high-risk recurrence score groups. So that it seemed to identify a group that was not responsive to chemotherapy, which, by the way, is something that many of us had kind of suspected for a while, and that is that very well-differentiated, high ER-positive, low-proliferation tumors just don't seem to respond. But we didn't have an unambiguous way of identifying those people quite so clearly. But one of the questions about B20 was, well, how generalizable is this? And this is for CMF, but nobody much is using that much CMF anymore. So what about a modern regimen with anthracycline? So that was what the importance was of SWOG-8814. It was very similar in design to B20 in that it was a randomization between tamoxifen alone or chemotherapy plus tamoxifen, but it was different in that it was in a node-positive population and that the chemotherapy was CAF. And basically, it showed nearly the identical result. The numbers were different in terms of what the recurrence scores actual observed were, but in terms of the benefit, the hazard ratios, for the low recurrence score patients, essentially it was very close to one.
Which would be no benefit.
There was no benefit. But the hazard ratios were to the side favoring chemotherapy if you had a mid-range or high recurrence score. So that's completely consistent with what was seen in B14. That together with other data suggests that this assay is an assay that does select patients who are chemo-responsive. Now, having said that, I should say that this is generalization from a study using CMF and a study using CAF. And we haven't really shown whether or not this is true for taxanes and various other scenarios, but I think there's a reasonable kind of underlying structure of things that's probably true, that this assay, by selecting patients who have very low proliferative rates and other features, can be identified as the low recurrence score group, and that those patients actually don't respond much to chemotherapy.
Pat, what's your take about these data?
Yeah, a couple of things come up. One, the NCCN guidelines do include patients who have a 0.2 to 2 millimeter size metastasis, and that does make some sense. But in addition to that, you end up, I think, in this situation, using it in circumstances where you're on the fence. And so if the patient is, we'll say, 65 or 70 and has some comorbidities, and you get an oncotype score back, she's got one positive node, maybe it's a 7 millimeter met, you get back a score that says 7 or 6, I think you're probably hurting her and not helping her by giving her chemotherapy. So if it's something where you're really on the fence about treating that patient, I think people are probably already using it. On the other hand, if you've got a 45-year-old woman with 3 positive nodes, I don't think anybody's ready to make that jump, although ultimately I suspect we might. I don't think we have that evidence.
I think it always has been clear that there's no point in using oncotype if the patient and you has already decided one way or the other that you're going to have chemo, you're not going to have chemo. It's for people who aren't really sure.